This is one of my favorite Sundays of the year, Mother's Day and Graduate Sunday. My mom's here this morning, so that's... I'm nervous. My mom's here. We've been in a series over the last few weeks that I've simply called Run, and I've shared with you this image of being at the starting line of a race, of this race called life, and you know, the gun sounds and we're off, right? We're running well, it feels good, we're with our friends, and then somewhere, you know, into the race we realize this isn't going to be a sprint, this is actually a marathon that we're involved here. And so probably for some of us about 100 yards in, we start getting a little tired, a little weary, and exhausted and overwhelmed. And so this series has been all about, you know, how do we keep going? How do we keep going and endure so that we live a life that is pleasing to Him? And so that we finish well. And to do that, we've kind of gone back and looked at this group of people in Scripture who faced a very similar situation. They were a group of people in the first century who came out of Judaism and who had now embraced Christ. And they had gotten off to a great start. They had embraced Christ, but now all of a sudden they've hit a crisis point. And here's the problem. They were in danger of now turning back. They had been pressured to go back to Judaism, and things had gotten hard in their faith walk. And these guys were suffering persecution and opposition and personal ridicule because of their faith. And they begin to grow tired and weary. And they were considering just kind of walking off the track and quitting and just kind of throwing in the towel. And so we've been looking at this group of people. It's the Hebrews. And so if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Hebrews in the New Testament. We're just going to be around Hebrews 12, centered on Hebrews 12. And the writer of Hebrews, I think, is the reason he's writing this is to try to encourage them. He's, you know, in the first 10 chapters, he gives them this, the evidence of why they need to hang on and stay strong in their faith, why they need to hold on to Jesus, that He is better than anything they could ever think of or come up with, you know. And then in chapter 11, he gives this hall of faith, you know, and he says, look, these guys and these women hung in there. They never gave up. They kept living out their faith. And then he gets to chapter 12, and I think it's kind of his crescendo of the whole book, and he kind of just begins to inspire and encourage them and plead with them. And he says this, chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, we got all these guys around us that have lived out their faith, and they're cheering us on, and they've given us an example. He says, since we're surrounded by them, let us do this. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let's set that stuff aside and push it out of reach so that it won't hinder us from running the race that God has called us to. He says, and then he says, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He says, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. There's a little ringing, I think, going on. Paul, so if you can kind of maybe turn this stuff off back here, that'd help. You might not hear it, but I'm hearing it's ringing back into me. Not grow weary and lose heart. And so this morning, we just kind of been walking through this, and I encourage you to go back and listen to the last two messages if you haven't heard those. But this morning, we're just going to look at the phrase that says, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, I'm going to just confess this morning. I don't like running, all right? This has been a hard series for me. I don't really like running. I've ran a lot in my life. I've been a part of teams where running was a necessary evil in order to get in shape, in order to do the best you could be on a team. But I don't like running. You know, I hate running. But and I know that hurts. How many of you in here love running? You just love it. You love running. Yeah, we got some of you guys that just love running. I mean, it's okay. Don't just because I don't like it, don't mean you can't love it, right? How many of you hate running? Yeah, so I got a good crowd here with me today. You know, listen, I know me, and then probably you too, we can come up with all kind of excuses, all kind of reasons not to run. I mean, I hate running, but I still run, right? Because I understand the benefit of that. I still try to go around Lake Hollingsworth, you know, a few times a week, but I every step of the way, I hate it. I hate it, and you know, and I have friends that just that, like some of you, that are just crazy about running. They go to bed early so they can get up early so they can run, right? They eat the right stuff, and so they can run, and they get on treadmills, right? They get on those treadmills, and they just keep running, and they just keep running. And to me, now to me, this is just me. If I ran that much, it would seem like it was controlling my life. And I really don't want anything to control my life, right? And now, don't get me wrong. I love to watch running events, you know? I mean, I love to sit there and watch those events and cheer on, you know, the USA or whoever. I even would, if you ran, you know, a 5K or a 10K or a half marathon, I'd come and cheer you on. I would. I'd be there. I'd be there at the finish line. And when you came across the tape, I'd go, yes, we did it. We did it. We did it. And I'd be giving you five and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I'd be there with you. I'd be there with you, right? You know, and some of you say, Monty, I would actually probably like to run, but I really don't have the time, right? I really don't have the time. I've got this thing called life, I got this thing called a job, you know, and I just can't find the time to run, you know, and you know, my career, you know, I'm up early as well, I'm to bed late, you know, and I'm doing everything I can to be successful in my career, and you know, then there's my family, and I'm running kids from here to there and all over the place, and you know, maybe taking care of maybe an elderly parent, and so I just really don't have the time. I really don't have the time to run. It sounds great, but you know, then I have connections that I want to be a part of. I have friends, you know, I want to have some friends and do some things with friends, and you know, maybe my life group, and all, you know, I have those things. And then, of course, my future, right? I probably ought to be thinking about my future right now. And so, it all sounds good, but I've got no time. And others always try to say to me, come on, man, enough with excuses. You would really love to run if you would run for a cause, if you'd have a cause that you would run for, you know? And so I've done that. And about, you know, halfway into the race and the run, I'm going, I actually paid to do this. I have paid to be out here, you know. And they go, no, we're not talking about that necessarily. But, Monty, you would love, how about, Monty, if you would try a color run, a color race. How many of you have done the color races? Yeah, you know, you put all white on, and then you start off, and they just pelt you and pound you with powdered paint or whatever that stuff is. It's like, is this fun? You know, is this really fun? And then you know, my tough ones, you know, my tough friends, they go, oh, no, you would really love running if you get out there and do the warrior race with us. Come on, you know, get out there and go through mud and under barbed wire and over obstacles, heavy metal music going on. It's awesome, man, it's awesome. I'm going, seriously? Is that awesome? And then, of course, I don't know, I'm sure you've seen these because we live right here at Disney. Now they have these things called princess races. Right, where you put on a little tutu, is that what you call those things? And wings sometimes, and you run. I mean, when did that become racing? Right, when did that become running? I'm not going to do that. And I really believe the writer of Hebrews, he knew he was writing to, and he knew we would read. He knew that the audience he was writing to, they weren't professional runners, they weren't Olympian champions, most of them, you know, they weren't, but he knew that we would understand, we'd be able to relate to that race that God is calling us to, that we'd be able to relate to the particular parts of running. And so the writer knew this was an opportunity, I think, to teach them and to inspire them and to encourage them, and I think us, about the race that God is calling us to. Because he knew some people would say, some of us would say, well, you know, I love Jesus. You know, I really love him, and I want to run the race he's calling me to. But, Monty, does it really have to control all of my life? I mean, does it have to control who I'm hanging out with, where I go, what I spend, how I give my money, who I forgive? Because I got some people that I'm not sure I want to forgive. where others are saying, you know, I love Jesus, and I want Jesus to win, right? It's why I live the way I live, you money. It's why I give what I give to. It's why I believe what I believe. I really believe, don't get me wrong, I really believe Jesus can change lives. So I'm all about the church, you know, helping people and pointing people to Jesus. But are you asking me? Do I personally want to get involved in this and begin to talk to people about Jesus? I don't know about that. I mean, I'll cheer. I'll cheer for the church and say, wow, look what we did. It's awesome. Yes, we're great. And others would say, well, you know, I get the whole run thing. I get the whole race. I understand what he's saying there in the Word. I understand what you're saying, Mike, but right now I've got my own life to run. I mean, I'll get to that race someday. But, you know, I mean, I have my career and my family and my friends and my future that I need to be concerned with right now. Now, what would be great is if I could get just a little bit of Jesus to help me in my career to be successful and, you know, to make the money that I need to make. It would be really great if I could get just enough of Jesus to kind of help me with my family and my friends to kind of maybe just, you know, rub off some of the rough edges of me. I get, you know, that would be awesome so that I could, you know, they would think that I was nicer and kinder and, you know, and of course I want my children, you know, so, you know, to get a little bit of Jesus so if the church could help me out with that, that'd be awesome. That would be awesome. And I think what happens sometimes, you know, is we begin to ask, you know, is this race he's talking about, is my life my race or his race? Here's what I want to do. Jesus, just why don't you come with me and be with me to, you know, to run my race. And when I need you, I'll let you know. And some of you would say, you know, I want to run, you know, but I don't know where to start. I really don't know what it looks like. I mean, is it boots or is it color, right? Is it a princess race? Because I'm not going to do that. Is it social justice? Is it getting to know my neighbors, you know, better? Is it just me stopping some things that I need to stop and starting some things I need to start? Is that what it's all about? Yeah, because I don't know what the race is and where and when do I start? When do I start? And the writer of Hebrews would say, today. It's time to run today. It's time to get in the game or get back into the game. No more excuses. You know, I've shared with you 10 chapters where I've given you evidence that Jesus is better. Jesus is better than tradition. He's better than you know, Judaism. He's better than, you know, he's better. Jesus is better. I've shared with you the list of people who have lived out their faith and kept on going all the way to the end. He said, today. And he begins to define for us what this race really is. And he just simply says this, let us run with perseverance, the race marked out for us. And so it's a particular race. God has a particular race for your life that only you can live out, that only you can run. Your mom can't run it. Your dad can't run it. Your boyfriend can't run it for you. Somebody else can't run your race. And by the way, you can't run anybody else's race either. You have a particular race that God wants you to run in life. The particular race that God designed for you. The one that he wants you to run. And so you have to get to that place where you say, God, okay, I get it. I'm going to strip off everything. the sin that messes me up, and I'm going to kind of do a moral inventory, God, and get the junk out of my life and the weights, the things that kind of hold me back, the habits, the hurts, the hang-ups that hold me back. I'm going to let go of those things, and I'm going to run with perseverance the particular race that you've called me to. And when you're doing that, you're saying, God, I'm ready. I'm ready now to become the woman or that you made me to be, to become the man you made me to be. And I think though sometimes we get mixed up and we begin to think about, you know, you guys are thinking about God's will for your life. And I want you to understand this. His will for your life, the race that he's calling you to run, is not a direction, okay? It's not a direction that he's calling you to. It's a person. It's a person. We always want to know God's will, right? And we think, I think sometimes, that his will is this unknown destination. But really what the Bible teaches us is that it's not an unknown destination, but it's a known person. It's Jesus. He's our goal. He's the one. He is the race that he's calling us to. I mean, Jesus would say it this way. You want to know what the race is? He said, in John 14:6, he says, I am the way. I am. It's me. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Through me. And if we ask Paul, you know, what is the race? What are we after? And Paul would say, well, here's what you need to do. You need to follow me because I'm going to be following him. 1 Corinthians, he says, follow my example as I follow the example of Jesus Christ. So, hey, listen, get in behind me, Paul says, because I'm going to be following him. And then Peter would say, well, you know, God called you to do good, even if it means suffering. 1 Peter 2. Even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you, he is your example. And you must follow in his steps. And then John would say, hey, don't be deceived. There's going to be a lot of racists out there. And people are going to be telling you, go this way, or no, go that way. And he says, don't be deceived. Be careful, because whoever claims to live in him, they must live as Jesus did. They must live as Jesus did. And so all those guys and the early church would say, the race marked out for you is to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. Loving like Jesus. Investing our lives relationally like him. Painting a picture with our lives of what it takes and what it's like to worship him with our life, to begin to see people with his eyes and his compassion, to notice those people that other people just write off, to breathe hope into hopeless situations, to meet other people's needs, to help them remove the shame that's in their life. The race is living your life like Jesus. And you would say, wow, man, Imani, that's awesome, that's great, but I'm not that loving. And I'm not that kind. I'm not Jesus. Exactly. Exactly. That's why when you run with Jesus. You run with Jesus. You run with a strength empowered by the Holy Spirit. When you wake up in the mornings and lace up your sneakers, put on those running shoes, and you begin to run, If you are with Jesus, if he is with you, I don't know, I can't hardly explain this, but all of a sudden something supernatural will begin to happen. The Holy Spirit will begin to give you strength to help you take every single step and take every single stride. And while you're running, he will begin to transform you from the inside out to be more and more like Jesus. And so as we step out the door, the way we love, the way we give, the way we serve and invest and accept others becomes more and more and more like Jesus. I mean, when we run, the Word will begin to come alive to you. As you read it, it'll begin to kind of put a wind behind your life and begin to point you to where God wants you to go. When we run, prayer that we struggle with sometimes and knowing what to say or how to say it, when we run, you know, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that prayer will just come out and we'll begin to pray with others and come alongside others, and we'll begin to see the power of prayer in each other's lives. And we'll see God show up and do the impossible. When we run, sin gets shown for what it is, that it's just a distraction, a cheap imitation of the real. When we run, we begin to see God show up. We begin to see Him do the impossible. We do the possible. He begins to come alongside and do the impossible. So much so that when we come in here on Sunday morning, we don't have to come in into a room like this and wait for the right lights or wait for the right songs or just to wait for something to get us emotionally in tune for us to worship Him. We won't have to do that. We just worship. We just worship because of who He is and what He does in our life. His love compels us to worship Him. We say, God, You are with me. You are so here and so personal. And when we run, we just worship. It's like breathing. And when we run, we see people the way God sees people. We begin to love like Him. We take our eyes off of our stuff, our fears, and we focus on Him. We throw off everything that hinders and the sin, and we push them aside and out of reach. And we run. And when we run, we're not just the hands and the feet of Jesus. He actually meets us on the track and transforms us to be more and more like Him, so that we can finish the race with power. I was talking to somebody the other day. I so want to finish the race that God has called me to. And I just don't want to stumble across the finish line. I want to be leaning in. And I want to snap the finish tape, right, when I go across the line. That's my desire. And, you know, when I think about that, here's my challenge. Here's my challenge to you, graduates, and here's my challenge to us, Rock. And I'm just going to give you one sentence, and we're just going to build on it. First is we run. We run because Jesus is better, because it's what we're made for, because everybody needs the Jesus that's in us, inside of them. Philippians 3 says, Paul says, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with Him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ, for God's way of making us right with Himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised Him from the dead. I want to suffer with Him, sharing in His faith. Paul says, I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. And so we run. We run. And that's what I want. I want to know Him. I want to know Jesus. I want to know His power. So we run. That's how we experience Him. We run. We dive into the Word and we trust what it says. We run. We love people unconditionally and ruthlessly and recklessly. We grow in our relationship with God. We keep running toward the goal of Him, throwing off every obstacle, every hurdle, every sin to pursue Him. We invest our lives in others. We serve selflessly. We give generously. We worship truly. We let go of our past. We give up control. We lay down our way. We get off the sidelines and into the game and we look at Jesus and say, Jesus, I want to run. And we look to the Holy Spirit and we say, Holy Spirit, you need to help me run. And here's what I know. Some of you here in this room this morning, you have never run. You've never run. You know of the lavish love and grace of God, but you have never surrendered to Him as Lord of your life. You have never said yes to Him. You've never let Him do what He wants to do in you and through you. So today, would you say yes to Him? Would you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead so that you can be saved and run? Do that today. Some of you here this morning, you have run before, but something has happened in your life and you've just stopped running. Maybe you've been hurt by someone, or maybe there's been a loss of a loved one in your life, and maybe you have a lot of why questions, and you're just overwhelmed with life, and you just stopped running. Maybe it's a failure that has happened in your life or in your marriage, and you give up, and you quit. You're kind of like the people in Galatians 5, where he says, you were running a good race, Paul says. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? You know, what happened? Why have you stopped running? And then some of you in this room, you have run for such a long time, and you have never given up on your faith, and you have been such and are being such an inspiration to so many, and especially to me, and I would just encourage you, keep running. Keep running. Don't give up. It's not over. So many of us are looking to your example just to see that you can finish strong. You can live out your faith all the way to the end. So run. Run. Coming up on the anniversary of my dad's passing 4 years ago, and my dad was a runner all the way to the end. Right, and you've heard me tell us the stories about my dad, but I walked in the hospital room the day he passed away, and the nurse is coming up to me and trying to kind of, help me to feel better in that moment. It's a very awkward moment, right? And she says, I don't really know what happened. I mean, I was here, he was laughing, we were joking, he was talking about, his family, about how you're a pastor, and, how much Jesus has meant in his life, and then I turn around, and next thing I know, he's gone. And as I went through those few days and got to his funeral, so many people came up to me and said, it was your dad's testimony, your dad's example that led me to the Lord. My dad was leaning in. Even though physically he was falling apart, he was still spiritually leaning in, running his race to the end. So we run. The second part is this, we run together. We run together. It says, let us run with perseverance. Let us. It's a we thing. We are a team. We're a team. All through Hebrews, it says, let us draw near to Him. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we have in Him. Let us consider how to encourage one another toward love and good deeds. We do this together. We need Christian community. We need accountability. We need people to speak courage into our lives. We need people to learn with and people to share our victories with and to share our failures with. We need those that will be there and say, hey, when you get off track, I'll be here for you. When times get a little confusing, I'll be here. I'll be your true north, pointing you to Jesus. Just come find me and I'll help you keep following Jesus. We need those people in our lives. Help us get back on track. We run together. Old proverb says, if we want to run fast, run alone. But if you want to run far, and then I added this, and finish, we have to run together. We have to run together. So we run together, and we run together no matter what. No matter what. Hebrews 12 says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. That word run in the Greek is treko. It's a better translation would be keep on running. Let us keep on running. The word perseverance is hupomone. hupo underneath, of mone to stand. It's this picture of Atlas standing underneath the world, you know, being the only one who could hold up and have the strength to hold up the world. It's not this picture of okay, I'm just going to hunker down and take whatever it takes, you know, and then I'll be okay. It's not that picture of weakness. Instead, it's a sign of strength. It's a sign of patient, enduring strength. The kind of supernatural strength that no matter what comes, no matter what weight comes, we run. Even when it gets heavy, we run. We just continue to run. I love this statement that I've kind of held on to for a number of years by Friedrich Nietzsche. He says, the essential thing in heaven and earth is this, that there is a long obedience in the same direction. That's the race. A long obedience in the same direction. Everything in our culture, he says, and everything in us revolts against that because we want quick and convenient and instant and efficient. We like it now. Eugene Peterson said, there's a great market for religious experience in our world, but there is little enthusiasm for slow and patient acquisition of character and virtue. He's right. The race is a long obedience in the same direction. So no matter how difficult it gets, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how dark and scary things become, no matter how the waves batter against our life, we run. We run together. We run no matter what. So what does that mean for you? Maybe that means you just need to keep persevering. Maybe it's a daily quiet time that he's calling you to do. Maybe it's to participate in a small group. Maybe it's your prayer life. Where is the area that you need to keep persevering in to become more like Christ? Because the race is going to take an entire life. You're not going to finish in a week. You're not going to finish in a month or even next year. God's plan is to make you the person he wants you to be, and it's going to take a lifetime. It's going to take your entire life. And so you can't run it quickly. It's not a 50-yard dash. It's a marathon. So you don't get impatient. You don't get impatient. The word race is the Greek word agon, which is where we get our word agony. It's a race that won't be easy. It's a painful race. There are times that we're going to be hurt. So we have to keep on running with strength, no matter the weight, no matter the pain. We're going to keep on running even when it gets heavy. Because God, in those moments, is doing something beautiful in us, something powerful, something permanent. Because here's what I know. Even when it gets hard, that's when I feel like God's doing his best work in me. We run together no matter what. We put on our shoes and we ask the Holy Spirit to stir things up in us and trust that he will transform us and give us power to run even when we don't have the strength to keep going. We run together no matter what, and finally because it is worth it. It's worth it. When you get to the end, you get to experience the reward of standing before your Savior and him saying, well done. It's worth it. I continually think about Billy Graham and his funeral service and how they talked about how, you know, as he must have been standing there as he entered the gates of heaven and heard his Savior say, well done, good and faithful servant. And then I just think about, wow, the hundreds and thousands of people that would come up to him and say, hey, because you were faithful in your race and you allowed the Holy Spirit to use your voice to speak his good news, because of that, I'm here today. Listen, Mr. Graham, Reverend Graham, it was worth it. It was worth it. And that's so what I want to hear. You know, I so hope that when I get to the end of my race that I don't wish I would have been quicker, faster, better at loving others. I so wish that I don't get there and go, wow, man, I wish I would have pressed on. I wish I wouldn't have got so discouraged, because, listen, it's worth it. It's worth it. When life gets hard, and it will, you need to remember the reward. When God seems distant, and sometimes he will, and when you can't explain life, and sometimes you won't be able to, you will go back and say, okay, I'm in this for the long haul. no matter who else drops out, I want to finish well. Because the words that we live for are words that come to us when we get on the other side of this life, and God looks at us and He says, well done. Well done. You did a good job. And in that moment, there will not be one ounce of regret that we decided to finish this race well. Whatever sacrifice we made will pale in comparison to the joy that will be ours in that moment. So we stay the course and we run. So graduates, church, let's run. Not sometime, but today. We're not made just to sit here and take it all in. We're made to run. And when we begin to run, we will be transformed more and more into who Jesus is and who He wants us to be. So we run. Run by going home today and loving somebody. Forgiving someone. Helping someone remove their shame. Run by making your family's faith a priority. Run by not just reading God's Word, but studying God's Word. Run by getting up early, parents, with your son or with your daughter, and reading God's Word together. Run by having honest conversations with others. Run by meeting your neighbor and sharing with them the love of Christ. Run by finding those who are not running and encouraging them to follow Jesus, because it's worth it. So we run today. Today we wake up and say, we are the church. We are the hope of the world. We will stand in the gap. That's who we are. Today, now, let us run together, no matter what, because it is worth it. It's worth it. Pray with me, please. Father, thank You for loving us enough to send Your Son to die on a cross, to pay for our sins, to give us an opportunity to experience eternal life with You. And so, Father, today, help us to run the race that You've called us to. God, thank You for bringing people in our lives that we can run with, that help strengthen us and to help go with us all the way to the end. Father, continue to use us to make a difference for You, to build Your kingdom, to share Your love, to lean in to the race that You've called us to, and allow You to begin to make a difference through our lives. God, be with these graduates. Help them to surrender to Your call on their life, Father, to the race, the particular race that You marked out for them. Help them to wake up every morning and be ready to run the race that You've called them to with perseverance, God, together with Your church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.